Praise the Lord. How are you? Good evening. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Okay. Pardon? You'll call me later? Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is called The Blood of Jesus. And it's the life blood. So we'll pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, by your precious Holy Spirit, because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter into the throne room of heaven. And we can have grace and mercy in our time of need. And we can speak to you, O Lord our God. And so we ask that the heavens would open now because of the blood of Jesus. And that you would send your holy word to us. And that you would anoint us with ears to hear, and our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you that my son was diagnosed with leukemia several years ago. It's a blood disease which is fatal. And during the course of his treatments for leukemia, he was given many blood transfusions. And because of these blood transfusions, he lived. Until the bone marrow was healed and he could make healthy blood. And this is an illustrated picture of how important the blood is. So let's look at the first instant where God speaks about blood in the Bible. It's Genesis 4, 8, and 10. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. And he killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I know not." Am I my brother's keeper? And God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So here it says that the voice of our brother's blood speaks. So this is an important point now. Now let's look again in Genesis 9:3 about what God says about blood there. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. I've given you all things. But the flesh with a life, which is blood, you shall not eat it. And surely the blood of your lives I require at the hand of every beast I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother, I require the life of man. So whoever sheds a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So here it says that if a man is killed, then a man's life is required for that man's life. So it's blood for blood. So here God is establishing that the life of a person is in their blood. Then God begins to make covenants with man. And the first one that he makes is with Abraham in Genesis 17, 10 through 14. And he seals this covenant with blood. Blood is shed. And God is saying that he is giving his life for the binding of that covenant. Now, the Abrahamic covenant was sealed by circumcision. So the flesh was cut and blood flowed. So here the Lord, there are many covenants that have been made between peoples. But a very serious binding covenant is made with the shedding of blood. And it means that I give my life for your life. Now let's look at, we are going to move into Exodus, into the Moses covenant. And I'm going to just read you a section about Moses getting ready to take the people the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And Moses was going to go to Pharaoh to ask to set the people free. Now, this is in Exodus 4:24. And it came to pass that Moses was going to Egypt, and he was in the way, and the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, this is the Lord who sent him to Pharaoh. And now he was going to kill him? So then Zipporah, his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. And cast it at his feet. And said, "Surely a bloody husband you are to me." And Moses let his son go. And Moses' wife said, "A bloody husband thou art because of this circumcision." Now, the Lord sought to kill Moses because he did not keep the covenant of Abraham. And if he had not have kept that covenant of blood, he would have died doing the will of God. So God says that it's very serious, his covenants with him. They are life for life, blood for blood. So then Moses went and confronted Pharaoh to let his people, the God's people, go. And he told them to shed the blood of a lamb and to put the lamb's blood over the doorpost of the house. And when the angel of death came that night, the angel of death killed all the firstborn. But passed over those that had blood over the doorpost. And this was the first Passover. And then Moses took the people of the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Into the wilderness. And the Moses covenant was established in the wilderness. And there were a lot of sacrifices of lambs. And So we are going to now look at the laws for the sacrificing. Because they all have to do with blood. So Genesis 12:5. Says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And you shall take it out from the sheep or goats. And you shall keep it the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of its blood and strike it on the side posts and the upper doorposts of the house. And there they shall eat it. So here, this is the Passover blood, the Passover lamb's blood that this is speaking about. And then in Genesis 24, verse 5, Moses is instituting the covenant of blood with the children of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel. And they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. And he read it in the audience of the people. And the people said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. And he said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. So here, Moses, they sacrificed a lamb. And an oxen. And they took the blood and sprinkled it over everyone. And they read the book of the covenant. And the people said, we'll do all that the book has said and we will be obedient. And this is very important over this covenant. Then in Exodus 29:5, it again talks about taking and slaughtering a ram and taking his blood and sprinkling it over the altar. And it says that this makes the altar holy. And then it also says in Leviticus 1:10 that you take a ram or a sheep without blemish, without flaw. And you kill it. And then you sprinkle its blood all over the altar. And again, in Leviticus 3:2, it also says the same thing, except that this offering is a peace offering. That the blood of this lamb gives us peace. And then in Leviticus 4:4, it says again, to slaughter a ram, and you put the blood of this ram on the horns of the altar, and you pour it all around the altar. And this blood is an offering for sin. And then in Leviticus 6:24, it says again that when you slaughter a ram and you offer its blood for sin, that the blood makes the altar holy. So all in Moses' covenant, again and again, a ram is slaughtered. And the blood is offered up for sin and to have our peace, to make peace. That's right. Yes, to make peace with God because we are sinners. So now I'm going to talk about why the blood is so important. In Leviticus 7:26, it says, you may not eat blood because the soul of the life of that creature is in the blood. And then in Leviticus 16:5, it says again that the blood is in the life of the animal that is sacrificed. And in Leviticus 17:1, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So all of these blood sacrifices were to make atonement for our soul. So here God is saying that it's the life, it's life for life and blood for blood. And he says it again and again in many other Old Testament scriptures. Because this is a foundation teaching of what the significance of blood is. And now I'm going to talk about innocent blood. In Deuteronomy 21:7, and they shall answer and say, this is the people, our hands have not shed this blood. Neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O God, to your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and lay not innocent blood to the charge of the Israelites. And that blood shall be forgiven them. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you. When you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Okay, so this is talking about innocent blood. If you turn away from doing, when there's innocent blood shed, if you turn away and do what is right, that innocent blood you will not be guilty of. Okay, so we are talking about blood guiltiness now. Who is guilty of shedding innocent blood? Now we are going to go to the New Testament and look at Jesus's blood and what he says about himself. In John 6:51, Jesus says, actually it's John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Which I will give for the life of the world. Now, the Jews were among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Who Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. For my flesh is meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. You that eat my flesh and drink my blood dwell in me and I in you. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. Hallelujah. So he that eats me shall live by me. So this is a bread which comes from heaven. Not as your father ate manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. So here Jesus says that he is the meat and the blood of the sacrifice. He's telling the Jewish leaders. Now I want to go and speak about how Jesus fulfilled this sacrifice of blood. Now, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. In Matthew 24. Oops. Hello? Okay. And he says it was the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And Jesus said, go to the city to a certain man. And say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Okay, and this scripture is in Matthew 26, 17 through 19. Now, I want to speak to you about the Passover. The Passover is the festival that speaks about Moses delivering the Hebrew children out of Egypt. And it is the first of seven feasts. It is a holy meeting time. And it is given in Leviticus 23. And God gave it to the Hebrew children to remember their deliverance out of Egypt. So Jesus was going to keep the Passover with his disciples. He was an oh. And the Passover meal that he kept, God commanded Jews all over the world to keep it every year. And they would kill a lamb and they would have bitter herbs for the bitterness of their bondage in Egypt. And they would have salt water for their tears. And they would have other foods and drinks that would tell about their deliverance from bondage. And they would have 4 cups of wine in the meal. And it says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ is our Passover. So Christ was keeping the final Passover because he was about to fulfill it. He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. And the 4 cups of blood speak of the redemption of his blood for the earth and for us. And now I'm going to tell you what each cup of blood represents in this Passover meal. Okay, the first cup is the cup of sanctification. And they say when they drink this cup, this blessing. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now that means that God will make us holy. He will separate us from idolatry. The Egyptians were worshipped all kinds of gods, and God separates us from their worship. That we might worship him. And then they had the second cup that they would drink with this blessing. I will rescue you from their bondage. This is called the cup of deliverance. Now, their bondage was slavery. They were slaves to wicked, hard taskmasters. And when we are under the power of the devil, we are slaves to him. But the blood of Jesus delivers us from the power of Satan's slavery. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the third cup is called the cup of redemption. And this is the blessing they say over this cup. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And with great judgments. And redemption means that God paid the price to set us free from our slave masters. And he does it bringing judgment on the wicked. Praise God. And the fourth cup is the cup of praise. And the blessing over the cup of praise is this. I will take you as my people. And I will be your God. And this is the great joy that we have in praise and thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these, hey, praise God. And these are the same blessings that Jesus prayed on this Passover night. Before. And then in Matthew 26, the Lord our God says, in verse 26, Matthew 26, 26, sorry. At the Passover, they were eating together. And Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and gave thanks. And saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant. Which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. So at this Passover, Jesus instituted the new covenant in his blood. Blood for blood, life for life. Now, let's go. I want to look at what happened when Jesus was taken before Pilate because of the leaders. After the Passover, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with his disciples. But his disciples fell asleep. While Jesus was praying, and he was tempted greatly by evil. And he sweat great drops of blood. So he shed blood to resist temptation of evil. And then soldiers and came to arrest him and the high priest. Because he had been betrayed by one of his disciples. And they took him before the governor of this, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then the Pilate also was questioning Jesus at this time. So we will take up the story at Matthew 26 verse 27 verse 17. Now Jesus was standing before Pilate. And the whole congregations of Jews and Jewish leaders were gathered together there. And Pilate said to the people, "Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" Because he knew that because of envy, the people had delivered Jesus to him. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor was standing there saying, "Which two of these do you want me to release to you?" And the crowd cried out, "Barabbas!" And Pilate said to him, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is the Christ?" And they all cried out, "Crucify him!" And the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they said, "Crucify him!" And Pilate saw that he could not prevail over them. And rather that a great uproar was happening. So he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." You see to it. So here in this passage, we see that even the government says, this man, Jesus, was a just and innocent man. There was no evil in him. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be upon us and on our children." Which is what happened. The innocent blood of Jesus came upon them. And then Pilate released Barabbas to them. And when they had scourged Jesus, they delivered him to be crucified. And this speaks of the innocence of Jesus when he was going to suffer as the Passover lamb. Jesus was the flesh and the blood that was sacrificed that we eat. He was those four cups that he drank of his blood. He was our sanctification. He makes us holy. He delivers us from slavery and calls us more than conquerors. And he purchased us as his priests and kings for his glory's sake. Now, oops, I'm looking at my notes, just a moment. Okay, so it's so much. It's so good. The Lord is so good. Praise the Lord for what he's done. And now, hallelujah, now we are coming into Passover season. Good. Good. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, when the Lord Jesus died, I want to talk about his crucifixion right now. Then they crucified, they took Jesus up to the hill of the skull. And they crucified him and divided his garments. And they cast lots that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And all those who passed by him wagged their heads, saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself." You are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. And likewise, the chief priests also mocked him, and the scribes and the elders. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. And we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Hallelujah. And even the robbers were crucified with him, reviled him also. Now the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. This is my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there when they heard that say, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine. And he put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus, when he cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks split. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised from the dead. And they came out of their graves after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Hallelujah. Now when the centurion and those who were with them guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. Truly, this was the Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Blood for blood, blood for blood, life for life. And life, and then Jesus was placed in a grave and rose the third day. And he is our salvation. He is our He took our place in death. In Romans 5, it says, Christ died for the ungodly. A righteous man will die for another righteous man. And maybe someone will die for a good man. But God commanded his love towards us, that while we were sinners and wicked people, Christ died for us. And now we are justified by his blood. And we will be saved from the wrath to come. Hello? Hello? Okay, so praise the Lord. This must be very powerful. The blood of Jesus. Okay, that's okay. So now that we have joy in God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because he saved us, he bought us, and he gives us power over sin. And the cup of blessing which we bless, it is the communion of the blood of Christ. And it's the bread which we break, it is the body of Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that the Lord's Supper is the bread and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Hebrews 9:2 says, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He enters into the holy place. And has obtained eternal life for us. Hallelujah. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, makes holy the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to clean your conscience from dead works, and to serve the living God. So this means that Jesus is the mediator of a new testament, a new covenant. And by his death, life for life and blood for blood, he says, you give me your life and I'll give you my life. And I will make you clean. And I will make you holy. And I will give you eternal life. And he brought the new covenant in his death by his blood. Now, Moses took blood, the blood of calves and goats, but he was showing of the better covenant, the covenant of God's Son. Hallelujah. And he sprinkled all the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And all these things that were sprinkled with the blood were made holy. And this was a pattern for things in heaven. And that's why the bread from heaven came down. and gave his holy blood for us. That we might inherit eternal life. Hallelujah. And then Jesus went to heaven and offered his blood in the heavenly tabernacle. And he is the great high priest in heaven now. And he offered the perfect sacrifice. To take away sin. Himself. He himself was the offering. And now he has brought our peace for us. And it says that the Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And that he is the mediator of the new covenant. And his blood sprinkling is speaking better things than that of Abel. Remember, we said in the beginning that Abel's voice, his blood cried out. It spoke from the ground. It cried out for vengeance. And God heard it. And God sent his son to reconcile us by his blood. And this is a better speaking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, we worship you, Father. We thank you that your blood is everything for us. It has bought our lives. And now let's go into heaven and just look in the book of Revelation, which is the book of heaven. And it's the unveiling of Jesus. And in Revelation 5:7, it says, and an angel came out with a book in his right hand. Of him who sits on the throne. And I'm sorry, I lost my place. Just a minute. He's the book of right hand. And oh yes. And when he had taken the book, the four books and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down. They fell down before the Lamb. They fell down before the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. And everyone had harps and golden vials of fragrances, which are prayers. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. and has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Yes, and the beast and the elders, and there were 10,000s and 10,000s. And here's what they say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing. Yes, and as we speak, the fourth cup says in Revelation 12:11, we overcome the evil one, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto death. And of course, in Revelation 19:13, there is a man on a white horse. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And his clothing was dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Praise God. Thank you, God. We want to know if there's anyone who wants to give their sins to Jesus on the cross now. If they want to receive this great gift from heaven. That they can be cleansed and made holy by the blood of Jesus. Are they responding? Thank you, Lord. Okay. And Father, also it says that your blood took our sicknesses. And even if we have a blood disease that we are dying of, Lord, you sent your healing power now. And Father, that you are going to heal tumors now. And lung diseases is healing. And fevers. God is touching people with fevers. And there's something wrong with someone's foot. God is healing the feet. And Father, we thank you that you heal the brokenhearted. Oh, Father, ask for the wind of your Holy Spirit to come and fill now with fire. And a great fire and a wind from heaven will come. Yes, Lord. Yeah, Kataraba Shakesetria Rema Shakesetia Sotoro Lobraba Sakashaka. More, Father, we ask that you increase your presence, Lord. You back up your word, Lord God, with the power. Horma Shakesetia Sandra Vareba Keshakesetia Satariala. Your kingdom is being declared. Wurreba Keshakasatia. The kingdom of heaven is coming. Yela Baraba Shakesetia Sotorio Rebe Keshake. We shake the gates of hell and they release the prisoners. Wareba Satya Sokola Bashike Satya Satya Brahma Satya Sotori Lobaroba Keshike Satiri Ro Kesekia Satari Labaramate Intoria Karaka Satari Roba Kesetias, Lord. You redure Bekesetias Satari, yes, Lord. Cover them. Tore Bekesetias, yes, Lord. Borebekesetio Rokes, yes, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We are so joyful. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We rejoice in you, God. You are redeeming the earth. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Holy, holy. Yes, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you love us, Lord. Presetia satara laba rama sheke setia sabara basatia rorobe leba roma sheke setia sandara laba sheke setia fo la setia ria fo la setia sandara laba se fo la barra basatia sandara laba sheke setari bro sheke setia sandara laba satia sandara laba sheke setia sandara laba roba ke setia sandara laba Yandere baraba satya sataria rebe, send your angels loose to heaven, zeke ramasha sataria. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless God. Bless the Lord. Thank you. Okay. Okay. So we'll be in touch. Get in, as soon as you can. Bye-bye.